Today's edition of the Roma Press Podcast is brought to you by Euro Fantasy League. The Champions League is just a few days away from commencing. If you want to play the very best in Champions League online fantasy football, go to fantasy-champions-league.com. Again, that's fantasy-champions-league.com.
Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with John Solano.
Hello again. Welcome back to another edition of the Roma Press Podcast. I'm Roma Press editor John Solano. Going to bring Andy on in just a second here, but again, wanted to thank everybody who has become a patron on our Patreon. And if you yourself would like to become a patron and support the podcast, just go to the support tab on romapress.us or go to patreon.com/romapress. Roma to Chievo too. Really not much. Really the scoreline is everything that we need to know, huh? It really does speak for itself. Such a poor performance. More points lost. Obviously, the saving grace is some of the other teams like Inter have dropped points as well this weekend, but just a dreadful performance from the Giallorossi. And you have to wonder if maybe DiFrancesco's days are numbered. We'll have to see how that ultimately works itself out. But let's bring Andy on now. All right, Andy is with me again. Roma 2, Chievo 2. Andy, your first thoughts.
It was the result I almost predicted yesterday. I told you it was going to be like that. We were going to score, and they were going to score, and then all hell would break loose, and we would panic. And that's exactly what happened. To me, this is worse than a loss, because to let a team like Chievo back into it like we did is just, it's pathetic.
Great first half.
Yeah.
The second half, I don't even know the words to find. Pathetic, embarrassing. This is the same Chievo team that shipped 6 goals to Fiorentina, 6. So I don't even know where to start. I guess we can start with our ratings. So Olsen.
But you see, the point is that, yeah, before the ratings, just that it wasn't even such a terribly played game. It was actually a good game for Roma, especially considering the previous ones. So it's very odd, very odd.
Yeah, and before the ratings, the thing that just bothers me is I thought that first half was the best 45 minutes they've played all season. Very fluid. The attack looked great. Midfield was connecting well, getting back. And Zonzi looked fantastic. Even Pellegrini looked good. Cristante was really, really strong. And the second half, it almost just looked like they didn't care. I mean, they looked like their heads were elsewhere. I tweeted this out, and maybe you agree or not, but that looked almost exactly like what we saw with Garcia towards the end before he was ultimately sacked.
There's this zero mentality, like this spineless behavior on the pitch. It wasn't even the matter of confidence, because you'd figure, oh, they're 2-0 up, they're confident. No, they weren't confident. They just weren't into it. It was very embarrassing, very embarrassing.
All right, so let's start with Olsen. Very divisive issue on the first goal. I thought he should have done better, because if you look at where he was a little far off of his line. I thought he should have saved it. The second one,
not his fault.
Not his fault whatsoever.
That was like this, I don't know where it came from. In to me, that's like 70% on Kolarov. Kolarov on that goal is.
Yeah, well, we can get to Kolarov next. Yeah, I'll give Olsen a six. I mean, I don't think he was bad. Maybe
he could have done six. It. Yeah. And the last chance.
Oh, he saved it. Saved a point.
Yeah. If it wasn't for him, it was 3-2 for Campbell.
Yeah, that was a fantastic save at the end. Let's just go to left back. Call it off. Wow. Do you think this is like Maicon 2.0, where he makes the World Cup and he's just done now?
Yeah.
Because that's what it looks like. He made his last World Cup. He's in his 30s. He sort of just looks like he's there to maybe collect his wages.
Paycheck,
He was really, really poor. I'd give him a 4, 4.5. Yeah. He was the worst on the pitch.
Yeah, worst on the pitch. And, I mean, he's in terrible shape. He doesn't track back. He provides zero attacking options, not like last year where he was basically our regista on the left wing. As I said yesterday, I still think that the absence of Perotti influences him in some sort of way, because it just there is no connection between him and El Shaarawy. And also today, it was like seeing last season's Florenzi getting abused on that same flank. Now this year, it seems this season, everybody is going at Kolarov. Like, they've got him figured out, and he's the weak link in the defense right now.
I don't know what the hell he was doing on that goal. Didn't track his man. The clear out was just I don't even know what that was.
And he doesn't even seem bothered. Like you said, he just seems like he's taken this season for granted. You know, I mean, he signed, what, a 3-year contract with Roma or something?
Yep. Right.
So, you know, he's probably going to be gone by the end of this season. And, you know, it's just zero interest and zero passion. We talk about Di Francesco's ability to insert youngsters. Well, here's your chance. Give Pellegrini, Luca, a chance against Frosinone. If we have to watch Kolarov getting destroyed by anybody, even from a team like Chievo, then, you know, there is no point in putting him on the pitch.
Yeah, I agree. Juan Jesus, not terrible, not great. He was pretty not great in the first half, second half, just meh. I mean, I don't know, 5.5, 6.
Five and a half,
Manolas, I thought he was good. I don't know, maybe the same. I mean,
it's, you know, it's a very odd game because that second half was completely different, but still, you know, aside from some individual mistakes and this lack of clarity and determination to end it, aside from that, everybody seemed to sort of perform, you know.
I thought everyone did actually fairly well except for Kolarov. Florenzi, I thought, was brilliant today.
I think he's the man of the match for me.
Yeah, same for me. I can't remember a match where he had so many spot on crosses. I thought he was fantastic. I'd give him a 6.5, maybe a 7.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the midfield, Cristante was really strong in the first half, sort of fell off towards the end in the second. Maybe a 6. I feel like everybody's going to be a 6.
I think, you know, again, it's today. I think he did a great job when he scored. Did that run of his.
That was a beautiful run. Yes.
Yeah, that was something we really lacked with say Strootman, because you can see that he's not afraid to get in there. You just have to. The players need to keep in mind that, you know, some players have changed. So now we have a guy like Cristante. Use him, utilize him in that spot. He can make those runs. He can score like that. That was a good assist from Dzeko, good awareness.
That was beautiful. That was really good from him. And Nzonzi, I thought, was really, really good. The way he balances out, maybe he fell off a little towards the second half. I thought introducing Derossi was really weird. I didn't agree with that.
Stupid decision.
Very stupid. But I thought Nzonzi was good. I mean, I'd give him a 6 as well.
Yeah, he was solid. Yeah, I mean, towards the end, he made some mistakes, and like on the last chance in the final minutes, he was also one of those that were making mistakes. But aside from that, I liked how he controlled the midfield today. No problem.
Yeah, and then Pellegrini, I thought he was good. This was maybe one of his better performances.
Surprisingly, yeah.
Yeah, I'd give him a 6-2.
Sure, 6.
El Shaarawy, I don't know what it is, but against these smaller teams, he always does pretty
especially
well.
Against Kiev. I think Kiev is now the number one team he scored against.
Yes, I saw that. I think it's either 6 or 7 goals he scored against them. He probably should have had another one to his name, in my opinion. Yeah. I'd give him a 7.
These are the good games. Yeah, these are the good games that are needed for a player like El Shaarawy, because he's not gonna score in a big game. He's gonna score in these sort of games. So good for him. Yeah, 7 definitely.
Yeah, Dzeko. I don't know. He missed a really important chance towards the end with the header.
Yeah,
he really should have buried that. His assist though to Cristante was really, really good. I'd give him a 6 as well.
Yeah, although I just, you know, you can see that he's tired. You can really see he's out of it. He's played what, like 2 games with the national team. Yeah, he's had no breaks. And it's showing. It's showing. He's not there. I mean, aside from that brilliant goal against Torino, his performances have been very mediocre.
Yeah, I agree. I guess that more so has to do with DiFrancesco, though.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
We'll get to him in a minute here. Under, I thought he was fine in the first half. I mean, he didn't really do much wrong, but he didn't do much great.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad game, but here's the deal with Under. I think he's a player that needs one good game. He needs to score that first goal.
Yes.
And then boom. And then he's going to go on a scoring run for 3 or 4 matches. He's that kind of player. He just needs some sort of motivation. And once he finds that goal, I think he'll be a much better player. Because right now he's sort of irrelevant in this squad. I mean, he does what he needs to do, but not on that level that we've seen him in the second half of last season. So let's just hope, you know, against a smaller team, or maybe even, you know, who knows, the Champions League games, you'll find that spark. 6.
Yeah. Now the substitutes: Karsdorp, Derossi, Kluivert.
Very weird substitutions. I didn't get it. I
didn't get it at all. I mean, I don't know why you would bring in Derossi. I don't know why you would take Florenzi off unless he was asking for it.
Yeah, maybe, you know, because he's been injured. So yeah, probably,
injury, right?
Yeah, probably he told him, you know, you can play 70 minutes today. And then
Kluivert, who I just do not understand why he's only playing these 10 to 15 minutes. It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah. And, you know, that's... Derossi, he put on Derossi because, as he said in the post game interview, is that, you know, he wanted some stability, right? But you cannot. I don't get it. He's supposed to be the one that encourages play, and he's always saying, we need to encourage the young players. Well, why do you take Pellegrini off if he's having a good game?
Yeah,
because De Rossi is not going to add anything on the pitch if Nzonzi is there. So why are you taking off somebody who's been having a dreadful season in the last few months, really? And he's finally having a good game, and you take him off for no reason.
I completely agree. So let's just go into DiFrancesco. I can't even give him a score because that was a 0. Yeah. The second half, I don't know what he's thinking. I have no clue what he's thinking.
I mean, for me, it all starts. Look, I'm not a big Spalletti fan, but you have to hand him that. Even the own players, they said that, you know, Garcia was a friend, but Spalletti is more like like an officer, somebody somebody that, you know, oversees all the training and is very tough on you, but he'll try and get the best out of you. And he probably has the respect of the players, and he was not afraid to go against the player, you know, to take somebody off or to let somebody stay on the bench. And with De Francesco, you don't have that. I don't even know, you know, I don't even know if the players like him or do the players respect him, but he seems unable to, for example, take off Dzeko. Why is Dzeko on the pitch if he's clearly super tired and is completely gassed out, has no, you know, speed, no stamina left? Why don't you take him off? Why don't you take a risk and let Schick take over for a bit as the central forward? I don't get it.
I don't get it at all. The substitutions to me were just so baffling. I don't understand the point of introducing Dirdalsi. I don't understand if you need a spark in attack, why are you giving Kluivert only 10 minutes for the second match in a row? And then the match before that against Atalanta, he doesn't even play. Against Torino, again, 15 minutes.
He has no, like, he's not consistent at all. He keeps talking about, you know, my football, and we have to play within my vision, and I like my players to do this and to do that. But then he changes everything, and he says, I like Kluivert. I think Kluivert should play more. And then nothing, you know? And then he says, I don't want to criticize the youngsters. I think we have to give a chance to Cristante and Pellegrini. Then takes them off after 45 minutes against Atalanta, which was, to me, one of the worst decisions one could make to two young players, you know? And
yeah,
he's not consistent. Because at least if you're going to fail, do it on your own terms, not, you know, somebody told me to change the formation, so I changed the formation. Because today, that second half drop-off, it's like a team that did not know what the coach wants. Are we going to score one more, or should we sit back? Or, you know, just completely spineless attitude that goes from the coach, and there's no way about it.
Yeah, I guess we can talk about Madrid another time, but just because we wrapped up this match, what do you think about DeFrancesco? Because now, after this result, you have Madrid. I don't know if anyone's expecting them to get a result in Spain. I'm not, especially after today. What do you think the leash, so to speak, is for him? Do you think he's close to getting sacked? Because I just think that I don't know how much longer they can carry on like this.
Well, as somebody on Twitter pointed out to me, that now I think it's like 3 weeks and we have like 7 games.
Yes.
I don't see, you know, if, for example, say Madrid, we lose against Madrid, fine. Then we go on and probably, hopefully, win against Frosinone. Then we have the derby, and then probably maybe we'll equalize, say. And I think it's gonna go that way. You know, we're gonna get one win, maybe one draw, one loss. And it's like last year. I mean, remember, like last year in January, everybody was talking about him.
Yes, and then in February they.
Yeah, and nothing happened, you know, because I think we're going to have to get through that. Although I don't agree, but it just seems like it's a period that, you know, you're going to make more damage by firing him right now with all the Champions League games and the Coppa Italia upcoming games and the season. And, you know, you still want to get that fourth spot. The title race is gone. I don't think it was ever in the conversation, but.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, but it's still sad to see that after 4 games, over, you know?
Might I add, I mean, if you look at the entire calendar for the entire season, this is the easiest part. In terms of opponents. I mean, obviously you have Real Madrid in there, but you weigh that versus the likes of Bologna, Chievo, Frosinone. I mean, if they, I mean, if they're dropping points now, I mean,
yeah. I mean, you know, we can be hopeful and, for example, say, it's good that we're having this terrible stretch right now than say in January or February, but nothing is guaranteed. And that's what's infuriating about Di Francesco. He's not consistent. You know, he's not the guy that sticks to one thing. And, that's the most infuriating part, because you have a team that likes identity. I don't even have fun anymore watching Roma. It's
not. No. And I don't know if you read El Shaarawy in the post-match, but he said something. He said something to the effect of, he was asked if there was like a mental issue or if they had a drop off. And he goes, no, this team doesn't have mental issues. I don't think we dropped off and we dominated the match. And I'm just... I mean, you read that, it's just like...
I mean, El Shaarawy should be the last person on earth to be talking about...
Well, that's what I said, yes. I mean, I don't know if he saw that second half, but
no,
other than Dzeko having that clear-headed opportunity, I can't think of any other time where they had a chance to get a clear-cut goal.
Yeah, and it's this team is so flat. It provides at least... You know, if you take some chances, run some risks, you know, I prefer to see a team that runs some risks than one that is just so predictable and boring. And everything they do is so half-baked. Like the defense has been super terrible. For example, I'm one of the last people to blame Olsen. I think, you know, 7 goals in 4 games is not entirely his fault.
The
whole team is to blame for it, and I don't know, it's infuriating to see a team that is still talented and people saying, you know, poor Di Francesco, he's the one, they took all his best players, they sold his best players. Did he oppose the sale of these players? Was he the one that was pleading Monchi not to sell Raja or Strootman? I don't think so. I think he was fine with it.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing I laugh at too is a lot of people think that, well, Monchi's the one selling the players and buying the players. And it's like, I can tell you unequivocally 100%, no questions asked, Di Francesco absolutely 100% has a massive input at who gets brought in. Why do you think Pellegrini is still here? Monchi would have sold him in a heartbeat this summer if Di Francesco said no.
Yeah, so obviously, and it's not. And for example, did we play better with Kevin Strootman, Raja Nainggolan? Did they make a difference in this Roma? No, we still had those terrible stretches. The team was still terrible in its construction and it's going forward, going backwards. People are so quick to just throw the blame this one way or another. But in this case, Di Francesco is still, you know, he's still one that knows who's being sold. He's still one that talks to Monchi. He is not the victim. He's one of those. He's a part of Roma, and he's also to blame. And right now, most blame falls on him because he is not even able to give a sense of team playing to this team. It's sad to see.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest problem is, again, you know, fourth match of the season, his second full season at the club, and it's, you still don't know what the identity of this team is.
I mean,
and the players out there, just especially in the second half, they're just moving about the pitch with no purpose. It just looked like 11 guys that you picked off from the street.
Yeah, exactly. But you see, for example, like yesterday, everybody was talking about De Frel scoring, a brace.
Yes.
And it's funny because De Frel, under Di Francesco, the year before he joined Roma, he scored 11 goals while being injured for a large part of the season, 11 goals. And then he came to Roma, and suddenly Di Francesco completely changes his philosophy and stops taking risks. So, for example, we've never seen Di Francesco as the starting number 9. something that he now he's doing, and he's very effective, and he's doing great at Samp. It just seems that Di Francesco, when he came to Roma, he suddenly said to himself, "Oh my God, I'm on a bigger stage. I think I'm just, you know, I'm just gonna stay the way they want me to stay and do the things they want me to do, and I'm not gonna do anything by myself." Because, you know, it's just this Roma, it's not his Roma, it's not anybody's Roma. It's just this soulless team.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is that there are alternatives out there to Di Francesco. I just don't know how much sense they make. Like, I've seen Blanc's name thrown around. I've seen
Ranieri.
Conte. I mean, I don't. Conte is not coming to Roma, in my opinion.
It's not an option, and it's not even people are saying he won't come because he doesn't go to a team that sells its best players. It's not that. It's that he makes so much money that you're never gonna pay for it. You know,
he makes almost triple what Di Francesco earns.
Yeah, he's one of the highest paid coaches in the world. Di Francesco came to Roma because he was one of the coaches that was making the least amount of money.
Yes. And if you look at, well, people say, oh, they made 100 million euros from the Champions League, they can afford it. I'm telling you guys, just go look at historically where Roma are in terms of paying their managers, in terms of like the rest of the league, like Juve, Milan. It's not even close.
Yeah. Why did Spalletti leave? He didn't leave because he hated Totti and Totti hated him. He went to a team that was paying him 4.5 million. So,
So I understand wanting Conte. Believe me, I would want Conte here now. I understand.
Sure.
But this isn't Juve. This isn't Chelsea. This is Roma, guys. I mean, let's be realistic.
Our line of coaches is, I don't know, somebody like Marcelino, again, Ranieri, you know, that sort of coach. It's, we are not a club that can pay a coach as more than a player, you know?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Okay, so final word on this match. What?
Terrible. But as I said, worse than a loss. It's, and especially considering we have an upcoming CL game. Hopefully, you know, expectations are very, very low, close to none. So maybe, you know, maybe it will work. Maybe something will happen. Maybe we'll be able to get a draw. I don't know. But this today was pathetic.
Yeah. 100% pathetic. I expect close to nothing against Madrid. Anything beyond a 1-2 goal loss is successful, in my opinion, just because this is such a low moment. All right. Well, Andy, we will be back again to discuss before the Madrid match or after, depending on what our schedules look like. But I know it's not a great time right now, everybody, but we've all been through much worse, I guess. That's all we
can say. Yeah, as right, everybody. Sure.
Yeah, that's absolutely. All right, everybody. Forza Roma. Until next time.
Forza Ciao. Roma.